Morning to all. After considerable research and looking to the Lord to direct, I've decided it would be valuable to bring the listeners and readers a report on the seven churches of Asia Minor to whom God gave his messages and promises through the Apostle John while on the Isle of Patmos as found in the book of Revelation. Although there are things spoken to these congregations which are applicable to our day, I do not consider that each of these churches or congregations represent an age through which the church has passed or is to pass. Instead, I believe these messages were directed to the angel or minister, the overseer of the congregation, and the message applies to that particular church. However, the truths spoken are also a warning to us from which we may profit, as well as all others of all ages. With this in mind, let us proceed. And the text, let us consider this verse. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Revelation 2:17. Wouldn't it be interesting to know just what has become of each of these congregations after all these years? There was Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Seven of them. Besides some of my reference material, let me say, Adam Clark commentary has been very helpful. Also a report of Henry Lindsay, who was a chaplain to the British Embassy at Constantinople back in the year 1816. This is now more than 164 years ago. He made a report to the British Foreign Bible Society after visiting the sites of the seven churches of Asia Minor to distribute Bibles. So he tells what he found. Further information has been obtained from encyclopedias and Revelation Explained by F.G. Smith. Beginning in the second chapter of Revelation, let us consider Ephesus, the first church mentioned. Get your Bible and read the second and third chapters of Revelation along with us. The message to Ephesus was, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. So some things they were doing were commendable. But let us go a little further. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. A whole sermon might be preached on this alone. They were slipping and losing out. They were told to repent and do their first work, or else the candlestick would be removed out of his place. Indeed, the candlestick has long since been removed from its place at Ephesus. There is no longer such a city. On a site nearby, a few poor cottages exist. Lindsay said he found there but three Christians, two brothers who keep a small shop, and a gardener. He said their ignorance is lamentable indeed. Can you imagine this after the Apostle Paul ran into such strong opposition there? This is where the great temple was built to honor the goddess Diana. This temple was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. There are some conflicting reports as to size and length of time in building, but from what I gather, it was more than 400 feet long, more than 200 feet wide. It was supported by more than 100 pillars from 50 to 60 feet high, and took from 100 to 200 years or more to build at the expense of all Asia. On an earlier broadcast, I referred to this goddess Diana as being the huntress, but after more research, I find there were two different goddesses known as Diana. This Diana of the Ephesians was the one of nature and seems to me was more heathenish, with more emblems of animals and flowers and so forth. So now there's no temple of the great goddess Diana, no spiritual church, and no city of significance known as Ephesus. A warning it is indeed. To the church at Smyrna the message is, I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. So this congregation had suffered many things and was very poor in temporal goods and destruction. During the Roman Wars, it was taken and partly destroyed. In the 13th century, only the ruins of its former splendor were left. But today, it stands with an estimated population of 375,000 as the most important place of trade in Asia Minor. It is true. They are still poor. The appearance of the city from the sea is extremely attractive, but a closer inspection dissipates the illusion. The houses are mostly built of wood, are mean and fragile looking. The streets close and filthy and filled with intolerable stenches proceeding from the sewers and drains. The city is divided into four quarters, Frank, Turk, Jew, and Armenian. Most of the other six cities either do not exist at all or their names have been changed, but not Smyrna. Smyrna remains. Who knows how much preserving effect the acceptance of Christianity may have had there. It is believed the famous Polycarp was a pastor at Smyrna, and he was later martyred about 167 A.D. Next, we come to the Church of Pergamos. The saints there had not denied the name of Christ, but some things, such as fornication and idolatry, were prevalent, and the call was for them to repent. It may have been they associated with idolaters in the heathen temples and partook with them in their religious festivals. As far as the city of Pergamos, it no longer exists as such, but in its place north of Smyrna is Bergama. The population of Bergama has been estimated to be from 6,000 to 20,000. 164 years ago, this chaplain, Henry Lindsay, reported considerable church activity there, but wrote, "I experienced with deep regret that the resident clergy were totally incapable of estimating the gift I intended them." This he spoke in relation to the New Testament in Greek, which he had for them. God's message to the church at Thyatira was, "I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first." This all sounds good, but yet there were a few things against them. And the scriptures refer to the woman Jezebel. Now, we know the wicked Jezebel, Ahab's wife, and how she was responsible for the death of Naboth, that the king might get his vineyard. So it seems here in this church at Thyatira, something was taking place which was very much out of order. It is quite possible that fornication referred to spiritual idolatry, and this was defiling the congregation. God gave Jezebel a time to repent, and so he did this church of Thyatira. God is ever working and calling for his people to come out from Babylonian confusion and be a separate and clean church. Again, the ancient city of Thyatira no longer exists, but Achisar occupies that site some 58 miles northeast of Smyrna. Abundant relics can be found at Thyatira, but it has gone the way of other ancient cities. Achisar has a population of an estimated 20,000. Lindsay estimated this population to be 30,000 when he visited there 164 years ago. He found one Greek church and one Armenian church, and he did leave there a Romaic testament, which was esteemed a great treasure. He later sent them four other copies. But just think what Thyatira might have been as a source of truth and light if they had held fast to the truth and purged out all the things which contaminated them in this warning from God through the Apostle John. God's message to Sardis was, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God." How true this is of so many people and professors when God turns a searchlight of truth upon their lives and hearts. Their works are found to be imperfect. The flaws will then show. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Dear ones, I don't have sufficient time to finish this message on the seven churches of Asia this time. Let us continue on a later broadcast. Do keep listening to the broadcast. We need to learn from the lessons of history. Listen to these scriptures of solemn warning. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Matthew 21:44. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fail severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. Romans 11:21-22. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9. Every day may seem alike as they come to us, but each day comes with its own opportunities, its own calls to duty, its own privileges, offering us invaluable gifts. That day passes and never returns again. Other days, as bright, may come, but that day never comes a second time. If we do not take just then the opportunities it offers, we may never have another chance to get them, and shall always be the poorer for what we have missed. It is then easy to think what we might have had or what we might have been. Our Father, help us to realize whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Bless each listener in the way which they need, and thine shall be the praise through Christ. Amen. Thank you, friend, for a few moments of your time. If we may be of some spiritual help to you, be sure to let us know. Until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying God bless and keep you always, and a very cheerful goodbye.